Today is November 6th, 1993. My name is Annie Cozart Karmatz, and I'm sitting here with my uncle Ed Kane, who is brother to Anna Harris, Dorothy Cozart, Kenzie Sherman, and Ben Feldman.
Tell me when to go on.
You can go on right now, Uncle Ed. You said that Bubba was born in Bessarabia, right?
Bessarabia.
And it's Ida Feldman, Heike Feldman, right?
No. She was born. Her name was Cohen. My father's name was Cohen. Kane.
We're talking about Bubba now.
Yeah. She married my father. And they had two children in Bishop. Now, both a little girl and a little boy. It was an epidemic, and they both passed away. So,
oh, these are before Anna and you were born.
Oh, before, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, he was a typical, you know, I mean, he was a scholar. See, he wasn't fit to be in the army. See, but they called him for the army. Now, what I want to tell you about the names, see, there's a certain set of people, the Kohen and the Levites and the Israelites. See, we came from the Kohen, see. So he was afraid to say he was a Kohen because he ran away. My grandfather skipped borders and borders. He skipped before he came to America. And if he was given his right name, they'd check up. They sent him back to Russia. So he said, instead of saying he was a Kohen, he said Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
See, okay. So they let him in, and he became a rabbi. My grandfather was a rabbi, and then Anna was conceived.
What year was she born? What year was she born? Do you remember?
Anna,
mm-hmm.
1900.
Mm-hmm.
She was just exactly, just about 2 years younger than I am.
And she was born in Bessarabia?
No, she was born in the United States.
Oh.
She was born in the United States.
What year did Bubba come over?
Bubba came over in 1900.
Uh-huh, and Anna was born shortly after.
As a matter of fact, when my father died, I wasn't born yet. See, I was born 2 months afterwards.
And you were born in?
Philadelphia. 1902. And Anna was born, I didn't tell you, Anna was born 1901. I just remember, so
mm-hmm.
She was a year and a half younger than me. She was born 1901, I was born 1902. And my father passed away. Well, then we had it pretty tough. So there were a lot of people from the small towns that they stuck together and helped one another those days. So one of them, Gusman, some sort of a relative, Gusman, he got mom started in the installment business. So she did fairly good. She would walk along the street and see a little girl. Do you have a piano? No. Where do you live? She represented Bellick. For 50 cents, we put a piano in. See?
Where were you living then?
We were living then on Gaskell Street, on Lombard Street. 500 block Lombard Street. 400 block Lombard Street. Today it's Society Hill, but of
mm-hmm.
course in those days it wasn't, see. So, as I grew up a little older, I joined with Bubba, you know. I did the collecting and the selling, you know. And, you know, we all stuck together. And
what kind of house was it on Gaskill Street? Was it a brownstone or a...
Lombard Street.
Lombard, right.
It was the house is a solid, nice house, just like it is today. It was 420s, I'll tell you in a minute. or near the 425 Lombard Street.
Was it like the house on Reed Street?
It was like the house on Reed
Street. Okay.
Excepting it didn't have the Indiana limestone.
Uh-huh.
Didn't have safe. And you know, the man who owned the place was a very fastidious man, and he asked Bubba to move. He said, you know, I think the world of you, he said, but your two children drive me crazy. They run up and down. He kept it very, very quiet, see, and we upset the house, see. So then we moved to Gaskell Street between 4th and 5th.
So you're on 4th on Gaskell Street now.
We're on Gaskell between 4th and 5th. And we brought over most of the family. We brought over.
Oh, from Bessarabia.
From Bessarabia. Jack Daniels.
And Jack was? Jack was Bubba's cousin?
Jack was Bubba's nephew.
Nephew, right.
Her sister passed away. And she brought over the father, husband, and 7 children she brought over.
Whose sister passed away? Bubba's?
Bubba's sister passed away.
And that's all she had was one sister?
She had 3 sisters. But the one that wanted to come over was Fetter Yussel. He wanted to come over. So Bubba got tickets. And paid it out, and they helped out a little bit, you know. But they came to me, and when they came, I had the job and took all the 7 men to 5th and it was their bathhouse on 5th and Gaskell for 5 cents. They got a shower. See, come back.
And that was your job.
Huh?
It was your job
that
to take them,
job,
clean,
yeah,
them up.
Yeah. So they became American citizens. You know, they all became peddlers. They would buy merchandise, peace goods especially, go out to the countries and stop at the country houses. Those days, the women, instead of shopping in their small towns, would sew. And they sewed the material, and they all did very well.
How did they get out to the countryside? Did they walk?
No. They got a horse and wagon.
Uh-huh.
But what they did mainly was, say, for instance, they were told, you know, those who were there before, who became really more established, they told, for instance, you take the train or the bus, you go to Lancaster, and when you get off there, stop in the rooming house thing, and when you set, have all your materials set, and then try, where is the wholesale district?
So that's how Uncle Jack got started in the ladies' garment
business.
Remember
Jack Daniels?
Yeah.
Jack Daniels and his brothers. Noah Muddell, he died at a young age. He died at 28. And Daniel, he was a butcher.
Somebody said Jack was a cowboy. Is that true?
Huh?
Somebody said Jack was a cowboy.
He was a dresser. You know, he liked the girls, and he was ambitious. He made a success. He went to York, opened up a first store, made money. Whatever he did, he made money.
And married Natalie. He married Natalie.
Yes. I'm trying to put two together.
When they first
came, they all lived in Gaskell Street. They slept on the floor, they slept on the couch, you see, until Bubba got them an apartment, see.
Now, where did you move after Gaskell Street?
After Gaskell Street, we moved to 3rd Street.
That's you, Bubba, and Anna.
No. We lived on Gaskell Street, and then we moved to Christian Street.
Oh.
And Bubba, it was 10 years after my father passed away, Bubba married. She married this gentleman, Feldman, a very fine man.
Max Feldman.
Max Feldman, a very fine man. He was like a father to me. I didn't know any difference. And he was good to the family. Everybody liked him, see. They lived on Christian Street, but as the family got bigger, And he had two, say, his son Mike, he was starting to manufacture children's dresses. Mike was a salesman for him. Mike went out to Chicago. He met this girl. She was a college girl, a very fine girl, and a wealthy girl. And they became engaged. And she insisted that he go to school. So he went to school, graduated law. When he graduated law, her father took him into the club with Sears and Roebuck and all these big shots, you know. And eventually he became the treasurer of the General American Transportation Company.
And what was his relationship with Bubba?
Very good. Bubba had considered him. They had a very good relationship between both families. He idolized Bubba, and Bubba liked him very much. See.
And did you and Anna feel like he was a brother to you?
Well, you see, he wasn't that much with us.
Oh, he went out to Chicago.
He traveled. See, he traveled. But I'll never forget one day. We didn't have a bathtub then on Christian Street. And they used to get a bath in the yard in a bucket of water. So one day, the weather was a bit cold, and I didn't want to take a bath, so I disappeared. So Mike and Jack looked for about an hour, and they found me hiding in the bakery. And Fourth and Carpenter had the door open, you know. I got in there and I hid this.
You were hiding among the loaves of bread? You were hiding among the loaves of bread.
Well, they found me, they got a hold of me, boy, in the foot. They threw me into the bucket and they gave me a bath. Well, after that, as things improved a little bit, they put in the bathroom. They fixed the place up. It was all right, see.
Well, how was Max making money at that time?
Well, Max was manufacturing children's dresses.
Oh, okay.
And he was a very, very good designer. He was a designer in New York. And he was married and he had other children, see. But while he was working, he came home one day and he found his wife with another man.
That's a shunda. That's a shunda.
As you said, so he wasn't a fellow who argued. See, he just picked up his clothes and came to Philadelphia. He had a brother in Philadelphia. See, they came here. It was in the daughter of his, and his another son, Sammy, and two. It was Sammy and Gussie and Annie. They came. They coaxed him to come back. He wouldn't even listen. He said, "Once is enough. That's all."
Okay, so when he lived on Christian Street with you and Anna and
yeah.
Bubba, when was my mother born? When was my mother born, Dorothy? She was next.
Dorothy was born...
1909, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'll tell you how old she was. Well, she was 82 when she passed away. She was 82. This was 1982.
It would be 1909.
1909, yeah. She was born. And that's when they moved, because there wasn't enough room.
Oh, I thought she was born on Christian Street.
Yeah, after she was born on Christian Street, there was a doctor had a house on 3rd and Carpenter Street, and he retired. It's a nice big house. So they moved between Bubba having the installment and Pop
dress
business. Yeah, they did pretty good. And us kids, we always helped out. Your mother, when she was 15 years old, was a cashier at the Bell Market. She used to go to 16th and Venango every Saturday. First Anna went, then your mother went, see. But I never did that. I did other jobs, see. But we all pitched together, and we were all stuck like one. See, Bubba, as a matter of fact, the Bubba, the Feldman's mother, he brought her with him because her husband died. And she took over the house. And she went out the next morning to the street, on Christmas Street, and said, "Where is there a rabbi with a strap?" Well, she got a rabbi with a strap, where my leg still hurts.
Oh,
see. But he taught me, see, the she only wanted I should be, she saw to it that I read and I read and wrote Jewish.
Because of her.
After her. And she saw that I got pretty good Hebrew education, a Jewish education.
And you were pretty good with numbers, too.
Huh?
You were pretty good with numbers.
With math. Oh, yeah, yeah. And she was 8 when she died. I was 18 years old. And I was getting ready for the rabbi. She only wanted I should be a rabbi. I was her pride and joy. I used to read that she was blind. She wasn't blind, but her eyesight was gone. And I used to read all the romances, you know, in the paper and everything. She used to save the papers for me, and I read everything for her.
And but you went on to pharmacy school.
Then I kept up until I was, when I was 16, I wanted to be a doctor. But a doctor, my God, who could afford a doctor, see? So I said, I had an uncle, but my father's sister had, her husband had a drugstore. So I said, "Sam," I said, "I want to be a pharmacist." So I said, "I want you to help me." He said, "Okay. You're all the way out northeast, Penango Street, $3 a week." So when it took 2 hours to get there, 2 hours to get back.
How did you go? By
trolley car.
Mm-hmm.
And, but he didn't teach me anything. All he taught me was to dust the bottles and clean up. But I wanted to learn pharmacy, see. So I figured there's no job for me. So I was then 16 years old. And with my plaid shirt, my short pants, I looked at the newspaper. And I saw an ad in the paper, 22nd of Mars, qualified assistant wanted, must be Catholic, and live in. So I walked in. He said, "Oh, yes, I'm applying for your job." So he laughed. He said, he was a gentleman. He said, "But you're not a Catholic, are you?" I said, "No, I'm Jewish." I said, "I'll take this job if I get it, but I must eat kosher." See, "Now, if you have a room for me, I'll move in. And we'll see what we can do." See, I don't know the first thing about pharmacy. But he had a man, the manager, see, Frank Irene. So he said, "I'm going to give you a job only on account of your guts. Not for what you know. But you have to learn," he said, "you're Jewish, you're not qualified. Qualified like an assistant pharmacist, see. You're not qualified." He said, "But you have the nerve to apply for this job." He said, "I'm going to give you the job."
That's great.
So he lived in the back. So I said to Frank, "Frankie," so he said, "Here's the prescription I want you to fill to me, see." So I said to Frank, I was a store. So I said to Frank, I said, "You look like a nice guy. I need a job." He said, "How much will you make it a week?" I said, $8 a week. $8 a week, okay, $8 a week, you know. Well, the money way back 8 years ago. So I said, "Look," I said, my uncle was supposed to train me, but I said, "He never trained me. And I'd appreciate if you would help me out, see. Show me how to make the prescription." He did a good prescription business. See, and he let me see. Joe Noble was president of the Philadelphia Association of Retail Druggists. He traveled a lot. He was away a lot. See, and Frank and I were managing stores. See.
So you got a good education from him.
Yes, so he taught me. See.
Okay, what can you tell me that time about my mother? She was doing what then?
Your mother was went to your mother had a nice set of girlfriends, of course they're all born now, say, and she was a real, you know, it's a funny thing. We had a tenant in our building at Christian Street, and this tenant used to like, she was a beautiful little girl, your mother, serious. So she put them under the teaser. So this lieutenant came in to ask Bubba something. So she said she saw your mother. So she picked her coat up and said, well, okay then, thanks very much. She winked to mom, you know. So your mother said, that's my mother's coat. So she said, no it isn't. So she put it back against the door and said, she must have been about four or five. I'm not letting you out until you give me my mother back her coat.
This was when she was 4 or 5 years old?
She was six. We lived so much.
That's a funny story.
So she says, I'm not letting you out until you give my mother back her coat.
Now, you said she was very serious.
Very serious.
And yet I remember stories that she said that you and Anna and she would be around the piano singing.
Right.
You would all be singing and laughing.
Always.
There was a lot of laughter in
always
the house.
As soon as Anna saw me, Ed, let's dance. Let's dance. See, now your mother was not much of a dancer, she was more serious. But Anna and I, we always danced. See, we jiggled around,
yeah.
You know, dance. And she laughed, and everybody laughed, you know. And every once in a while, I'd sing, you know. Because when I went to school, I worked for a real estate office. And for lunch, I used to go to the Woolworth store and get a sandwich, a bagel, on the Market Street. And it was the war, and they were singing war songs. And I caught all those war songs. And I used to sing those war songs.
You taught them to the kids.
Yes, they used to sing the war songs. And they liked those songs, you know.
All right, so then around 1912, Kenzie and Ben were born. Around 1912, Kenzie and Ben were born.
They were 82 just last week. I took Ben out for his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
He 82. And it was a funny thing. Mom had the apartment on the third floor, and she was fine. She felt she was going to give birth. So she called Mike, run and get Dr. Nichols. See? So he ran on 6th and Tasker, and he ran, and I ran with him, see? But he ran back to see what was doing, see? So I came back in a wagon, you know, on Christian Street, you know, riding down Christian Street with him.
Oh.
See?
You were a mensch then, huh?
Yeah.
A Gunsknocker.
Then I was about 11 years old.
When they were born?
When they were born, yes.
And did you have much money at the time? Did you have much money at the time in the house when they were born?
Well, no, there was a depression. And Pop went ahead and he bought a lot of piece goods. And he paid, I'll never forget, he paid 72 cents a yard. And in 1921 this was. And when a depression came along, he got lost everything. And he went to work as a designer. See, he was a good designer. He went to work for a popular dress blouse. Not sure.
Ship and Shore. Wasn't it Ship and Shore?
Ship and Shore.
Yeah.
He went to work he could design anything. Sunday was a party every Sunday morning. Every Sunday morning was Anna and your mother and Kenzie. We had old kitchen.
And Ben.
Well, no, he didn't mix in that crowd.
Oh, he didn't?
No, he didn't mix in that crowd. And they all got in the kitchen and the little room. And Pop would make dresses for them.
Mm-hmm.
Pop made dresses for Anna until she was married. And for Dorothy, and they made dresses until she was married.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, Kenzie was a little bit more stylish, you know, so she gave Bubba a hard time. She wants her dresses bought.
Uh-huh.
See? So, okay, it was a little bit better times then, see? I was ready a little bit later on. And, but everybody worked. Ben worked. Ben ran errands. I sold papers and ran errands. And shine shoes, did everything. And
what kind of businessman was Max?
Who?
What kind of businessman was Max Feldman, the dressmaker?
Max was an honest man.
Which means he wasn't a good businessman.
He wasn't a conniver.
Right.
See, he did business on a straight, honest way. Very, very honest. He had a brother, Dave. He had four brothers, and he brought them all over to Philadelphia. And they opened up a small men's furniture store, you know, dry goods store, at 432 York Street. And but they were Markowitz brothers were the big, you know, wholesalers from York. See, well, they wouldn't give him any credit, so Pop guaranteed the credit. See, and they gave him the merchandise. Big Mary weighed about 300 pounds. She had two daughters. They didn't get married, so when it came time to pay, Mary liked to spend money. She liked to spend money, and she thought the money that came in was to be spent instead of paying bills. Well, one day, Dave Margaret walked into Dave Feldman, and he said, "You owe a bill." He said, "I don't have it." They were, none of the men were businessmen. I mean, they weren't connivers. They couldn't get out of it. They had it or they didn't have it. Yackel, Uncle Yackel, you remember the Gertrude daughter? He was a plain man. If you owed your dollar, he owed your dollar. You don't own a monkey business. It was Dave. And they had one son, brother who came from Russia. And he went to get it. Saturday night, they would all come to our house with the girls and the family. We used to play hide and go seek, and they would put that. But the Bubba used to have a herring and onions, and they used to have a public. And I ran out, used to get the beer, 10 cents a gallon. See, we had the beer, and we had a swell time, so you had a nice time.
Did you have a piano when you were growing up?
Huh?
Did you have a piano in the house when you were growing up?
No, I'll tell you when the piano came, see. The piano came when your mother, when Anna was about, Dorothy was, because Anna had to work, see. But she was about 8 years old. And Mrs. Bellick from Bellick Piano, she was pierced to speak with mom. And, no, she pierced the street alone. And she said, "Do you have a piano?" "No, radio there." When I had, before they got through with Bub, she had a piano, 50 cents a week. But I want to tell you this. So they closed them up. They closed Dave up. And Pop and Mom had an awful hard job running around the neighborhood to get up this one from that one to get money to pay Margaret, so they should let him open up again, see. So he opened up and he didn't last very long. He didn't live very long. They were none of them lived old ages.
Mm-hmm. So how old was Max when he died?
Who?
Max Feldman.
Max Feldman was 68.
Oh.
Yeah. He was 68.
And you know what he died from?
Yes, yes. He went upstairs to go to bed. They were downstairs. They had company. And they went upstairs. And he lay down in bed and he said to Mom, he said, "You know, Hank," he said, "I feel awfully thirsty. Will you get me a glass of water, please?" There was no water on the third floor. So she said, "Sure." She ran downstairs. She came up with the water. He was dead.
Mm. How old were you then?
I was then about 17 to 18, see. had...
I thought Mother was 18 when he died.
Who?
My mother, I thought, was 18 when he died.
Your mother?
I thought she was 18 when her father died.
28.
Well, it was 1928?
1928.
Okay.
She must have been very close to it. Yes, she was in school about 18 or 19.
Right, she went to...
Normal school.
Philadelphia Normal School?
Yeah. And she used to work Saturday for the Bell Market as a cashier. Very serious. She took the burden of the family more so than anybody in the family, see. And, but she had a good sense of, she would like to laugh. She had a good sense of humor. She wouldn't crack humor much, but she had a good sense of humor.
She responded easily.
Huh?
She responded to humor.
Yeah. She would laugh. And I would kid her out every time Anna had long curls, see. She was a kid, see. So you know those days, the conductors, when you went and paid 5 cents, they would ring the phone. So when I remember Nana would put walk past, I'd say, 5 cents, please. And I'd pull her hair, see. She got angry, you know, but your mother, we straightened everything out, see.
Yeah.
She used to complain to Bubba that I'd pull her hair. She was married from there.
All right, and that's 1933, I believe. My mother got married in 1933.
How old would that make them? About 24. Yeah, 24.
Where was she married?
Where?
Uncle Ed, you started to tell me before about my father when they moved to Surrey Lane. Could you tell me what happened when they moved to Surrey Lane?
Yeah, they wanted to boycott him because he was the only Jews. They knew that, as a matter of fact, that house was empty 15 months because the Jews were starting to move out there, see. And there was a rumor in the street, they were there, told the real estate man to tell him, if he's Jewish, don't bring him over. He can't buy the house, see. But your father somehow or another got around it, and you know, he wasn't a kike, he was an American fella, he was a lawyer, nice looking fella. So your mother was a beautiful little girl. She was chenetic, she was dark and chenetic, see. Everybody loved her, and she had a big heart. She would help. She heard anybody was sick, you know, in the neighborhood, you know, she'd bring him food, and bring him, make him soup. She was a they were a beautiful couple. They were a beautiful couple. And Bubba was very happy.
You started to tell me my father walked across the street when they first moved in?
Yeah, he moved in and he introduced himself. And he said, my name is Harry Cozart. He said, I just gave a deposit on this house. I'm a lawyer. Now, anything that I can do for you, why, I promise you, I won't cost you anything. I'll do it for you, see. And I want to be friends. So he heard that they had a case. He said, see, so right away he said, I do have a case. He gave it to your father. Your father won the case. So he immediately went to the other side, the corner, where the guy, you know, he said, you know, the fella moving next door, you know, I, you know, he fought a case and wouldn't take any money from me. See, he wants to be friends. So he said, I'll talk to him. See, so he walked in with his sister, I think it was the main thing. He walked in with his sister.
This was Taxon.
And they liked Dorothy very much. And he liked Harry very much. They became very, very close friends. Very close. Anything at all. Whatever he wanted, said before the ground, whatever. Harry made up his will. And then he told the teller on the other side, you know, we've got a Jewish fella here, but very nice fella. Well, he wasn't too hard to make because that Talon already was ready, see. And he became like very, very friendly, see. But when Anna died.
And that was 1939.
39,
yeah.
Yeah. No, 1939. When Anna died, yeah, 1939. I remember distinctly. But when Anna died, Mike, Arthur run off the beaten path. He was a young kid then, about 14 years old. Cut school, walked the streets. He couldn't get himself. Your father got a hold of him. I think he flunked the first year in Central High. Your father got a hold of him, took him to school, had a talk with the teacher, with the principal, and explained to what happened. See, he lost his mother, and his father was far from. His father was running around. The first day he married Anna, he was running around. He was a bum. And Anna, he needed money. And Anna was only 2 weeks before giving birth. They lived in Millville, and she was like this. Bubba had to pawn her ring and get the money to give it to him. And he never paid anybody back, see. Well, anyhow, he appealed to the teacher, and to the, Haney was the president, the principal. And he says, please show him a little extra attention because he's very much upset. His father ran away. His father had a girlfriend. He ran to California. And he left the three children with mom. And they lived on 40th and Parkside Avenue. He forbid the children to see mom, see Harry, see anybody in his family. So mom used to walk up and down the street. Maybe she'd see him in the yard, see. And she was heartbroken with him.
You started to tell me, how did Anna die?
They were on Christmas Street. And she said, Dorothy, I want to show you something. She showed her a little temple boil. So she told me, I said, Anna, Dorothy, take her right to Goldberg. Right to Goldberg. Took her that same day to Goldberg. Goldberg examined her and he said, well, he said, the most that I can give her to live is 4 months.
What did she die from?
Cancer. So going down, Dorothy said, Anna didn't hear that. Dorothy heard that. So she said, Dorothy said, let's stop over in 4th at Bainbridge Street and let's have a corned beef sandwich. I feel like having a corned beef sandwich, see. So Dorothy said to the doctor, doctor, could she have a corned beef sandwich? Just give her anything she wants because she said, well, yeah, she went to the hospital I used to go with her, and she used to cry to me and cry and cry. What's going to happen to my children? What's going to happen to my children? I said, nothing's going to happen. I said, you're going to get better, and you're going to take care of your children. Your children, you're going to take care of them. And she said, she felt ready. She knew her mind was her last week was terrible. She was talking and screaming, and Bubba said to her, she said, I think it'd be best if it was doing that thing. And then Bubba and Harry got together. Bubba used to wash the clothes, the mother used to make the breakfast. They accepted the three children, and Arthur got on the street now. He graduated. Your father saw to it. He went to Temple, I think. He graduated to dentistry. And there was an office to buy. Your father, nothing was done. Nothing was done in the family unless your father engineered it. On Northeast Fern to Frankfurt Avenue. So they bought it, and then the war started. So Arthur didn't like to be close to folk, you see. So he called your father, and your father said, well, what do you want to do? Arthur said, I want to join the Department of Good Health. See, okay, they sold it. He enlisted, and very happy he came out a colonel.
Yeah. Now, you said that you You offered my father money, you and Ben?
Ben and I, Ben gave me a check, and I took the check and I gave it to your father. And he had a friend who was listening. He didn't hear what we said, but he was like looking towards us. He was a dentist, he died. Maybe you would know his name. Very, very friendly with your father. He was one of the boys, like Sklar.
Oh, Cy Jacobs.
Does, yeah, Cy Jacobs. I was facing Cy Jacobs, and Cy Jacobs saw that your father was concerned. He tried, I don't think your father told him, see. Well, anyhow.
And my father was angry? My father was angry at the money?
He was angry at me. He said, "Don't you see?" And Cy saw that he was going this way. See, so he thought maybe he needed some help or something. He says, "They're my children. I adopted them." He says, "And I don't want you ever to offer." So we would do, you know, we give gifts like this. They had socks, they go to bed, they go to socks, and what else to get, you know, clothing and so forth. So they were that all right.
How much money did you offer him?
Huh?
How much money did you offer him?
$1,000. I said, "Ben, give me $500. I said, because, you know, Harry has a big job in front of him. Putting those three boys through college is going to cost a lot of money. Now we have to help. We can't put three boys a young lawyer and say support them in education." I said, "It's ridiculous." And at that time, Ben and I were doing fairly nicely in business. They said it won't hurt us. So he took the check, held it in his hand, looked at it, just picture it, about a minute. Then he saw the tear in it. Then he started to get me the business. "Don't you ever dare to do a thing like that again. Don't you ever dare. They're my responsibility. I'll take care."
What is the happiest time you remember with Ben and Kenzie and my mother and Anna? Can you remember a very happy time you had together?
I'll tell you, until Kenzie was a happy-go-lucky kid, until she was about 15 years old, and she got a job as a sales lady on Market Street, say, and on the 9th and Market, you know, where they sold dresses and socks and everything else, and then she became serious, see. But see, I mean, don't repeat this. See.
Well, wait a second.
Put money in a big jar, and he put the big jar on top shelf, see. So when Max started checking up and see what medicines are worth, you find quite a few dollars.
Yeah.
This girl wanted to sell. Ben called up, Max called up your father, Ben, and me. We went down that Sunday morning, and when I heard the price of the drugstore, I saw the merchandise, I said, "For God's sake, grab it."
So Kenzie was a good salesperson.
She was silly, but he was better.
Yeah, but she helped out at the store a lot, didn't she?
Well, no, not so much. In the beginning, she got Christmas time or so forth, say. But he resented. I don't know whether he was jealous or resented, but the feelings between the two wasn't exactly what it could be, say.
Okay, you were starting to say my father what?
The shining star of the family. Yeah, nothing was done. Bubba, absolutely you. But nothing was done unless your father okayed it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when you look back at your life now, you had a good life?
Oh, man, had a wonderful life. I met Sophie, I met Jenny, my bat mitzvah, her grandfather, with my rabbi. And I liked that first of all, she was to me it was very important. She was a kosher girl. She made kosher and had kosher. See, to me, I went with a girl, Tilly Polina. she married Judge Calabria, which, and you know, they were the set up at drugstore. Those days at drugstore, you know, as I mentioned, they were the set up at drugstore. I turned it down because I knew, I felt that she would respect Mom. See, because Mom was the older female, Tilly Polina, she was a gorgeous looking girl. And wealthy and all, and there was oil and water when mixed, see, so I broke it up. But Jenny was a fine, respectable Jewish girl. Mom liked her, and she came right into the family. And we had it very nicely.
Actually, yeah. Then all of these marriages of your brothers and sisters were arranged, except for my mother.
Oh.
All of the marriages were arranged. Bubba fixed up Anna.
Oh yeah.
And Kenzie.
Yeah.
How about Ben?
Ben was fixed up by Dorothy Gilbert.
Oh.
Yeah. Dorothy Gilbert was a friend of the other sister. See, Ben was about 3-4 years younger than
Gert,
yeah. But Gert was a devoted wife. She was a secretary for Wasserman Shoe Company. She was a secretary, and she made pretty good money. And she had money saved, and they worked together. When Ben was in the Army, he was the only man that I know that went in the Army there 4 years, and he went into private, he came out of private. He didn't want to be, he sold socks. He used to run out of Mexico with one of the officers and buy nylon stockings. And he used to get buttons, a great, he used to get special things, buttons in the buttons and uniform. He would fix, that was very handy in this winter.
Yeah.
He could sew and cut and everything else. He used to sew up and everything else. He was very handy. And that was very well liked then. It makes my heart. He don't deserve to be there.
Uncle Ed, since October of last year, which is 13 months ago, you lost two sisters, a sister-in-law, and a brother. And you're still hanging in. You're remarkable. Your sense of spirit is remarkable.
You know what the doctor said? The doctor said, you're built like a horse. I want to go. I've lived a nice long life. See, the only time I didn't want to go was when the children were small and they needed me. And I didn't want to leave. See, Jenny was a wonderful person, but she wasn't a business lady, you know what I mean? She was a good mother, a very good mother. See, and I was proud of her. But, you know, for instance, when I go to New York, Mother taught me one thing. She taught me, and I all through my life, I told all the businessmen that my mother taught me business. You know, we had a district attorney in Philadelphia, Tilly Thompson, and her father had a furniture store. Mother had a customer who wanted to see a set of furniture, Seventh and Catherine. So I would go with Mom. See, I was Mom's right hand man. See, so the furniture was marked $79. See, so Mother would buy it, give it say for $69.59, pay it to go to corporation, buy a part of money and pay it, and collect every week. See, so I said to Mom, I said, look, Mom. 79, 4 from 59. So Mom said, look here, never make an offer until you get that man's lowest price.
So Bubba, tell me again what Bubba said about...
Bubba said, my kid, she said, never make an offer. See, in those days, everybody made offers until you get the man's lowest price. See, right shortly after that, I was in New York to convince one of the Donald's developers. Well, anyhow, he had, I think, 45 or 50 dozen ladies paintings that I needed. He was giving them up, see. So he said, how much would you pay for them? I said, I'm going to tell you. My mother once taught me I should never make an offer until I get the man's lowest price.
So have you lived by that?
I live by that until the day I'll die. Until the day I'll die,
okay.
I'll bother by that. I thought it was so cute when she said
that. That's wonderful.
See,
She
was smart. Bubba was smart.
She was a good businesswoman.
She was smart. She was business. She was all business. Her father was a good businessman. Her father had, he was a wheat converter. And besides that, he had a little talent for the, you know, to keep friendly with the Goyim.
Uncle Ed, what would you say to your children and grandchildren the way Bubba said that to you? What would be something you would tell your children that you would like them to remember coming from you?
I told that to the children.
That comment?
I told exactly to every one of my children. I hope they remember it, I hope. But every one of my children, I said, remember, I said, before you go out in the world, remember one thing. You're going to make an offer. People are going to ask you, how much would you give for that? First, argue with him. If he wants $20 a dozen offer him $15, see. If you won't get it for $15, you get it for $16. All right, see. But when you get the man's lowest price, he says, well, this is it, no, I can't do anymore. And then you realize that, you know, it's a very good buy. Then you make an offer. And if he wants to get rid of the whole thing, he'll take it.
Okay.
He'll take it.
Is there something you could tell us about the spirit of our family, what you think about our family in general?
In whose family?
In our, well, you, mother, Kenzie, Ben, Bubba, Anna.
I thought we were very lucky.
Lucky?
I thought we were very lucky. We had a nice family. Kenzie gave us a little bit of trouble there. But we managed with her, see. You see, my nervousness was due to cancer. But all of a sudden, she started to scream. And I hate screaming. So just to keep her quiet, I put my hands over her mouth to keep her quiet, see. By doing so, she lost her breath, see, for about a second. Just that second, I thought maybe I did something to her. I ran around the floor, right around the corner. It was Rabbi Brennan, you know, it was Brennan, the comedian, you know, his father. And I said, I think this just appeared to me. Come right away, come right away. He wasn't on the way yet. It was the morning with breakfast. So he come around. He come around. She was laughing. So he says, nothing matter with your mother, but just with your sister. See, so I told him. See, that happens with children, they lose their breath when they get. It could happen with many babies, it happens. They cry, all those others, but nothing matters. But that was a ruination of my life. My nerves have been bad ever since.
You trace it back to that?
Huh?
You trace everything back to that? Your nervousness?
That's what I trace. But I never said anything to her about it. I never told her. As a matter of fact, the only one I told her to was one of the psychologists here. He asked me if I had any nervousness. I said, yes, I said, I told him. So he just wrote down, I don't know, say. But I was ready to, there were many times I wanted to jump out the window, many times. But, you know, Bubba taught me, you have to be religious. And religious people, if you take your own life, it's the same as if you take somebody else's life. And I don't want to go through eternity with that. We're going to wait. God will take me when my time comes. But we had a very nice family. Everybody was proud. Everybody, the Feldman family, everybody. Anna was very nice. Hugh and Dorothy was a school teacher. And Ben went to school. Ben didn't want to go to school. And so I took him into business with me. But he was a good businessman. And when I went to the hospital, I was in the hospital for 13 months with operations and operations. I had just set him up about 2 weeks before in a business, in a store order business. You're probably in a hurry now, in the store order, which means that he would give out a slip. Say, you wanted a $10 slip. He'd give you stuff for $10. You would make arrangements at different stores. See, and he would collect. percentage, or 10% interest, whatever it was. And he had just started the electric cigar all of a sudden. It was in Atlantic City, near the hot dog. That night I came back cigarettes. So I knew that Jenny, she was children of five small children. How is she going to run a business? We're just getting started doing nice things. But how could she had to run to New York every week, had to run look for board and see a park? How could she do it, see? So I called Ben. I said, Ben, I said, may take a week, it may take so. I said, give me a help. He sold his business right away. He came right in. He worked with me for a year, 13 months he worked. About maybe a year and a half until I set him up in Bennett. He didn't want to do it. I said, you do it. He said, well, he said, go partners. I said, okay. And then when I started, was doing okay, I said to Bob one day, I said, you know, Bob, I think that, I don't think I did right by Ben. I think I ought to do better. He says, what do you mean? I said, I think I ought to give Ben the whole business. So she said, you know, my kid, it would be a beautiful thing. That same day I called Henry Squaw. Not heavy, very small. I said, oh, everything there belongs to Ben. We'll get out of this, we'll get out of that.
But you said...
When Pop came back, I'll never forget.
Wait, damn it, I can't... Wait, one second. Now, how do you remember Bubba being nervous or steady or...
Steady. Steady and collected and smart. She always had the right answer. Everybody said she should have been a man. As a matter of fact, she straightened Pop out. When Pop came out, I'll never forget, and said that the markets fell and he lost a lot of money. So she said, so what? She said, so it's only money. Surely she said, it's only money. You'll make a living, I'll make a living, and we'll be all right, see, but they were married, see. And she studied Pop many a time. Pop used to get nervous a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
See, not that he would get terribly nervous. Naturally, when he was in manufacturing and bought a lot of piece goods, spent every nickel he had, and it took a drop on down to 35-40%, you never want to go around laughing about it. You know what I mean? Lord, he came home. Mom had lady friends on Christian Street, or the grocery store, another grocery store, clothing store, and she always ran out. She needed money. That's Jesus, I would run over. Also, Mom said he had $50 off him. Alec, Neuer, you know what I mean? So I used to collect a few, $200. Then when I come collecting Sunday, you'd go collecting anything. See? But, and you know, Pop, I'll never forget, you know the stars, one star still is out near us, the stars. So, she was a little bit of late. So, she was Pop's cousin somehow. Well, anyhow, one Friday night, it was pay day. Pop didn't have any money to pay him. So she said there were two girls, about 10 girls, one girl. You come with me, we'll come to hike and we'll get the money. Mom was washing the floor there. She sees her dad coming. She said, what could you look as you want to pay us? Never. So she said, what happened? So she said, I don't know what happened. Anyhow, Ed, go to work. So I went around, I collected a couple $100, you know.
Yeah.
And I collected from Rojo and from Doyle, from these storekeepers around there, see. And then we paid it off, see. And, and Mom never said it. You should not have done it, you should not have bought it. If he did it, he did it. He was right in doing it, mm-hmm. That's all.
Uncle Ed, I want to thank you tremendously for remembering. I want to thank you for remembering so clearly all this information. It's astonishing.
Oh, I talked this out to you in a hurry. She's making this choice. There's a lot more that I can tell you sometime.
Well, it's 91 years, right?
Huh?
It's 91 years that you're remembering.
I remember when the doctor picked up, you know, he picked up Kenzie. There was a flu going on, see, and children were dying like this. And he picked up Kenzie, and he gave Kenzie to Pop, and told Pop to go to Mount Zion Hospital right away. See, so he went there around somewhere, went to the Mount Zion Hospital, and they said, "What did you do? Bring us a baby to die? You can't take her. We'll take her. Take her home. Let her die home." Just as true as I'm sitting here. They were dying. That's all you heard. Of course, I don't mean 1918. They had chest control order. See, this was 1921.
Mm-hmm.
This was, Kenzie was, when she was born, I mean. This was, she was born, see. And, but Mom was always, she was serious, but she would think, see. And Pop would get nervous. And he needed Mom to support him, see. And they got along with him. To him, my hike was the world. You could always say, my hike always called her my hike.
Well, she left us. She left us a wonderful legacy.
Wonderful people. They were suited for one another. They were suited for one another. They were suited. They were absolutely suited.
What was your father's favorite expression?
Machaike. Machaike. It's the best in the world. Machaike. It's the best in the world. And you know, in those days, the men didn't hug the wives. Use a pozom.
And what did he say in Yiddish?
Huh?
And what did he say in Yiddish?
My chayke is the best in the world.
But that's English. Tell me in Yiddish what he said.
Well, it's, in other words, he couldn't do without her. He couldn't do without her. And when he took sick, I'll never forget, he took sick one day, had a bad cold, and then she was excited. Then she was excited. Yeah, he had the, what do you call those, so those dangerous sore throats?
Strep?
Strep, yeah, the strep. Those days they didn't call it a strep. And she bothered, I had to go to bring them, I had to bring Dick Nichols, I had to bring him 10 times, I had to bring him.
Uncle Ed, Red Tamir in Yiddish.
Huh?
Red Tamir in Yiddish.
Red Tamir then. She flakes Zog and Zog, she flakes Zog, all those things were done all right. So Zog sich nicht, schreck sich nicht, sie ist nicht das Geld, sie ist nicht das Leben, sie ist Geld.